Amen. Amen. Well, to welcome you this morning, the brave and the faithful that are here, right? And I appreciate your getting out here. Obviously, we have many people ill. Appreciate Doug leading us in prayer during worship, right? Again, one thing we need to remember, we need to keep in mind, even as we're in moments like this, these are still unprecedented times that we're in, with people getting ill the way they are. And we need to be a people of faith. We should be people leading the way in strength, in power, in faith that all is good. And we should be able to let the people around us know, look, everything is going to be fine. We trust someone greater. Amen? Again, so we need to remember that. We got to hold fast to that. And again, we have a lot of people that are struggling or have been tested positive. Probably everybody in this room knows some people tested positive. It's all good, right? Our God is in control. Amen. Sometimes he delivers us completely from a sickness, and other times he strengthens us to endure it. That's what faith is. We don't get it. We don't understand it all, but my faith stands strong. Amen? So hold fast. Hold fast in that regard. I know we're going to be starting a series in Acts, but I'm going to ask you to, at this moment, we don't need the slide yet, but just to turn to 2 Peter, if you could do that. You know, when you really believe something, it really changes you. It changes you. You know, and I mean really believe it. You know, I have this odd relationship in my life with roller coasters. I think they're really safe for you to be on. Okay. Like, I'm perfectly fine with you going on any type of roller coaster. I think it's great. I'm okay if my wife goes on. I'm okay if my grandchildren go on. That's great. I have complete faith that they're safe, except for me. See, I absolutely believe they're safe, but I just don't believe they're safe for me. I don't trust it. I don't trust it. Even so, I'm an enigma, right? I'm an enigma. It doesn't make any, what I'm saying makes no sense. It makes no sense. I'm saying I believe it. I believe it for you. I just don't believe it for me. And now listen, what's sad though, is that many of us operate in faith in God the same way. Like we know who he is. We believe that he has saved us. We believe he is God. We believe that he's empowered us to fulfill the mission, like to go do the acts that he wants us to do. But we just don't believe it for ourselves. Like a lot of you believe, well, yeah, I believe, Pastor, you're called to do that. You're obviously anointed to do those things, to reach out to people. But not me, right? We have the same issue. See, if we really believe something, it changes our behavior. It changes us. Belief determines behavior. Right? That's what happens. So if it's not affecting me, if I'm saying, yes, God, you've empowered me by your Spirit to not just to live this life in power and in purpose and in a supernatural way to touch people, but yet I don't do it, and I have no intention of doing it, right? Then I really don't believe it, right? You're like me with a roller coaster. That's too bad for you, right? Now again, but that's why we're taking this. That's why we're going to take this time. We believe this story, but we need to believe that we can take action to reach the world around us, not just the world far off. Because one of the things we can delude ourselves as believers is like for us, like we've been reaching out in West Africa for over 20 years. And we've seen some great things happen, and it's good that we can invest our finances. A few of us have gone, but we can invest our finances, and we're affecting, a Muslim area, in a major, major way. We're affecting them, but we're also told that we should be affecting the people across the street from you. We're supposed to be touching them, and again, it's easier to give money, and have somebody else go across the globe than for me to reach across the street to my neighbors that really aren't like me. In fact, they may be living some type of immoral lifestyle that you really don't respect, right? But God calls you to them also, right? And the thing is, if we really believe this message, that wouldn't intimidate us or frustrate us the way it does. We're under a mandate to reach the world. You know, the problem is, again, why do we miss this? I believe we just keep stopping short of everything God has for us. You know, for those that follow football, which, of course, in Pittsburgh, you know, the Steelers are the biggest church in the city. They have the biggest church in the city. A lot of people, if for a football player, it's like you have an opportunity to score a touchdown. You score a touchdown, you get 6 points. But you also celebrate when you get a first down, which means you get to keep the ball and get four more tries, right? And we celebrate first downs like they're touchdowns. Yeah, we get a first down. We make a little gain and we celebrate it. When God's saying, but I want you to score. There's so much more. Point is, there's so much more God has for you and I, so much more power, so much more anointing, but we stop short. We celebrate half of what God has done for us. I mean, we've inherited the promises of God. This last song we just sang is so good, right? Man, this is just what God does. He sets us free, doesn't he? Aren't you glad? Isn't that good news? Man, he has changed the way that you act. Thank God, right? Because some of you didn't act so good before Jesus, right? Changed the way you act, changes the way you behave. Your life is better. You have joy. You don't have guilt and shame. That's worth everything right there, amen? I have no guilt and no shame. I actually believe and am confident that I'm going to heaven. And those promises are something to celebrate, but that's not the touchdown. You know, I want to walk in obedience. We are also singing today, God, what moves you? Tell me what moves your heart. Well, what really moves a father's heart is when he sees sons and daughters walking in potential. You know, again, I have 6 children, again, ages 40 to 27. Okay, and again, when I see them starting to approach their potential, it excites me. When I see them putting themselves in places where they're being stretched spiritually, in any spiritual way, whether it be outreach or giving financially and everything in between, that excites me. I want to see my sons and daughter reach their potential in God. I mean, I believe the Father's excited when we trust him and actually believe that we trust him, we believe him, that he will empower us to be a light to others. That is something that excites the Father's heart. But what happens though is we settle for the promises that are all about us, right? And they're great promises. I do celebrate, believe me, I celebrate every day that I am guilt-free and I live no shame, live in no shame and have eternal life. I celebrate that. See, but God wants us to do more than celebrate the freedom he gives us. He also wants to set you on fire that you could be a light to others. See, it's not just freedom, it's fire. He wants you set free, yes. But we believers, particularly in the West, particularly in affluent cultures like our own, we tend to settle right here. We settle in the part of life where I'm free. But we're not following through and allowing him to set us on fire by his Spirit that we could reach other people. And that's what we want to be addressing in these next several weeks. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at the book of Acts and going to look at people who believe the story of Jesus. They believe just like you and I. They had a freedom and a joy and assurance of heaven that they never knew before. And it changed their lives. It was something they celebrated. But they did not stop there. They believed the whole message of God, that he was calling them to something bigger. And that's what we're going to see in the book of Acts. And so they believed their promises, but their belief was at a different level here. And, you know, because Acts, the book of Acts is all about the early actions of the apostles, the early actions of the disciples of Jesus Christ. And as we look at it through the coming weeks, we're going to see miracles that God allowed them to be part of. Absolute miracles. We're going to read about those things. And the boldness that they walked in, the power that they walked in, the courage they walked in, and the self-sacrifice that they literally were abused. They were abused physically. They were thrown in prison. They get martyred. I mean, all these things happen. All these things happen by these people. And the point is this. Now, the point of this series over these next weeks, this is so key. This is foundational to what we long to be as a church family, and certainly foundational to this series. Listen, we're not here to make you walk away feeling guilty. My hope is not that you feel overcome with condemnation. I better go talk to my long lost aunt that I know isn't saved. That's not the point. That's not what we want to do. You hear me? It's not what we want to do. This isn't about motivating you and pushing you with a guilt message and look at these examples and you should follow it. That's not what the point is here. That is not it. Listen, I'm not out to modify your behavior, right? I'm out to challenge what you really believe. Do we really believe who Jesus is? Because that's the key. That's the genesis. That's where it begins. If we believe who he is, if we believe he really is who he says, we will be moved to want to share as we recognize the goodness we have in God. Are you following me? Are you tracking me on this? Okay. You know, what you believe produces your behavior. These guys that we're going to read about in here in the book of Acts, they believed it. They believed it. They believed the message. They believed that Jesus was who he said he was. Therefore, they were motivated. Paul made the statement, we're not going to turn there, but he made the statement in 2 Corinthians where he said, he was being asked, how do you do what you do? And he said, the love of God compels me. He didn't say, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and his power overcomes me. He didn't say that. He said, the love of God, when I consider what he's done for me and believing that it's true, I am compelled to pursue him. That's 2 Corinthians 5:14. Okay, that's where we want to be. We want to grow in a deeper relationship with God. That's what I want to see. I want to see you grow in a deeper relationship with God, that there is a compulsion to do the things that he said we should do. That is what I'm looking for. That's what I want to see happen for you as we look forward here. You know, so we're going to trust God here. We're going to trust him. First and foremost, though, what we learn from people highlighted in Acts is they were moved by belief in Jesus. They really believed he is who he said he was. You know, Acts is like a super highway, the super highway in Christianity of what the church should look like, right? But I'm telling you, the on-ramp is believing, really believing he is who he says. And that's why we want to look at Peter. And in 2 Peter here, chapter 1, give us that next slide there. Okay. And let's just read this. This is Peter speaking. And he says this. He says, therefore, I will always remind you. He's writing a general letter to believers. I want to remind you about these things. Even though you already know them and are standing firm in the truth you have been taught. And now catch that. Catch, because it's just like us. There's no one in this room right now. I can tell by looking around. We all know Jesus. So we're not here. Peter's saying, I'm not going to try to tell you anything new. Right? He goes, and it is only right that I should keep on reminding you. How long? As long as I live. And he goes, for our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me I must soon leave this earthly life. So I will work hard to make sure you always remember these things after I am gone. Okay? What are those things? Let's look next slide. For we were not making up clever stories when we told you about the powerful coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. We saw his majestic splendor with our own eyes. When he received honor and glory from God the Father, the voice from the majestic glory of God said to him, this is my dearly loved son who brings me joy. We ourselves heard that voice from heaven, and we were with him on the holy mountain. Verse 19. Because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message proclaimed by the prophets. Catch this. What's Peter saying they need to remember? What's he saying? He's saying, look, you've got to believe me. The story is true. He is who he said, who we say he is, who he said he was. He is the one. Turn back up one slide there, please, Josh. Okay, I just want to keep that slide up there. Look, we remember, guys, this is not some clever story. This is not just a cool fable that we speak about. He's saying, we were there. I mean, you figure they were there when Jesus was baptized by John and heavens opened up and the Lord spoke. Peter was there at the Mount of Transfiguration. He was there. They heard the voice. He's saying, this is real. He really is God. He really is. And this is what I want to remind you of. This is what I don't want you to forget. See, catch this. Catch it. This is the foundation. We're going to be talking about the acts of God, the power of God. And yes, we should be able to do these things. But it all starts here with what Peter's reminding us of. Right? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? This is what Peter said. Peter said, I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the power of God till the day I die. What's he say he's going to talk about? I want you to remember he is who he said he is. Because if you really believe that, the book of Acts is still available for you to walk in. Because reality is we should still be adding to the book of Acts in our lives, right? But it all starts with, do we believe it? So in these next several weeks, you're going to continue to hear this. You're going to hear us speak about this as we look forward and look at all these amazing things that happen. It all began with, you got to believe he is who he says he is. These guys believe it. I am not looking to modify your behavior or to motivate you to do something by your flesh. Not doing it. Been there, done that, didn't work anyway. All right, so if you really believe Jesus is who he says, you will not only have freedom from your guilt and your shame and your past and hope for your future, but you will sense a compulsion to want to trust God and reach the people around you, which will bring greater joy to you than anything you could imagine. Amen? Want to change what you believe. Want to deepen what you believe. That 2022 can be your most exciting year yet in your life as you're living in the fullness of God. Are you with me? Let's just pray right now. Father, we come before you. God, we thank you. We thank you, God, for the gift of Jesus Christ. And Father, I ask, God, that even now, Lord, you just start to kindle fresh that fire, God, that you are who you say you are. We serve a living God. We serve a Jesus who walked the earth, died and rose from the dead, and rose again into heaven. God, open us up to believe this, Father God, that we could truly look at the book of Acts. God, we can look at it as a book of possibilities for us. That Acts would be, as we read it as a possibility manual for us, for our own future. And not just something from the past that we could never do. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen, amen. So again, that's where we're starting. Do you believe it? So we're talking about not behavior modification, but belief modification. Amen? Acts. So go to Book of Acts, chapter 1. And again, today, I just want you to know, we're just setting the table. We're setting the table for the book of Acts, particularly for next week, which really is... Again, the first couple chapters really set up, of course, the rest of the book, all right? But we're setting this up. We could take a whole year on the book of Acts preaching. I mean, my gosh, you could take 52 hours easy preaching and teaching on the book of Acts. We're doing 8 weeks. Obviously, we're not going to do the whole thing verse by verse. But we want to understand what God was doing. We understand the role of the Holy Spirit in the church. But it all starts at what foundation? What makes it work? Do you believe he is? Do you believe he is who he says he is? All right? Because again, think about this. It says in chapter 17, it makes the statement, it says that these men turned the world upside down. A handful of people just turned Jerusalem and the world upside down. And we should still be able to do that today in the best sort of way. Amen? Chapter 1, again, let's just look at these first couple of verses. We have a lot of verses. I'm not going to read them all. We're going to put them up on the screen. All right, but again, I just want to kind of use it as an outline because there's too much to say. You know, pick it up here in verse 1. It says, in my first book I told you, Theophilus, about everything Jesus began to do and teach till the day he was taken up to heaven after giving his chosen apostles further instructions through the Holy Spirit. During the 40 days after he suffered and died, he appeared to the apostles from time to time, proved to them many ways that he was actually alive. And he talked to them about the kingdom of God. Again, this was written by Luke. Luke was a doctor. He was a Gentile. He was a compatriot of Paul, went with Paul. He also wrote the book of Luke. He was one of the best historians that we have in the New Testament, wrote with that very purpose. And so if you just catch how he's writing here, again, he talks about how Jesus walked with them for 40 days, teaching them. If there's any time in history, I think all of us would like to have been there and seen Jesus walk the earth, right? That would have been an amazing thing. But I always thought, wouldn't it be amazing just to be there for like the 40 days after he rose from the dead and how he took this book, he took all those scriptures out of the Old Testament, and the scripture says he revealed to them how the Old Testament spoke of himself. And what kind of amazing teaching was that? thinking where Jesus would look in Micah and say, yeah, see, that was talking about me. See over here in Jeremiah? No, that's talking about me. It had to have been an amazing, amazing time. Amazing time. That's no extra charge. I just threw that in. All right. Okay, so this book covers about 30 years. He's writing to Theophilus, obviously a friend of his. He wanted to give him a good account of what was happening. Theophilus, interesting enough, means God lover. God lover. He's a God lover. So this is a book written by Luke to a God lover who wanted to know the truth, wanted to hear the truth. And Luke, that was his purpose here. He wanted to make this so clear. So clear. All right, so let's go forward here into verses 4 and 5. And it says, once when Jesus was eating with them, he commanded them. He commanded them to wait, right? Let's just go on here. He commanded them, do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay, and this is really setting up the book of Acts. He said, next week we get into chapter 2 and when the Holy Spirit fell. But right here, again, we catch these words of Jesus. He's spoken this after he's risen from the dead. He's been hanging out with them for a few weeks. And he's telling them, he says, look, when I leave, I'm leaving you. He says, don't leave Jerusalem. Stay here. Wait, right? Be steady. Endure. You know, whenever the Lord tells you to wait, I usually said, okay, that means I'm going to be tempted to leave. Right? What are we waiting for? What's the purpose? What's going on, right? And we see here, he says, you're going to be baptized. You're going to be immersed in something. And they already knew about water baptism, right? John the Baptist had baptized. But there's a new baptism that's going to be happening. And he's telling them, said, you need to wait for this. And you can imagine him saying, well, what's this baptism going to look like? And I can imagine Jesus just saying, you'll know when it happens, okay? And as we look at chapter 2, they certainly did know. They certainly did know because something transpired inside of them. You know, instead of baptism being an experience, I think a better word would be condition. Like you should be in the condition of baptism. You know, like it didn't end. Like, oh, if you've been baptized, yeah, I'm in baptized condition. You know, God has poured himself and made himself alive in my heart, man. I can't help it. And he says, don't leave. Don't separate from each other. Stay together. And again, here's this thing that we see throughout the book of Acts and throughout all the epistles of him putting the new Christians, these new followers. Because remember, the word church was just very generic. It was a very generic word of a group, called out group. And he's saying, look, you got to stay together. Stay together. Don't leave one another in context here. All right? And he said, because the Spirit is going to be poured out. And with that being said, again, I do want to give a unashamed plug for the Grow Power Conference. Give me that next slide, Josh. Again, this is happening. Doug's going to mention it again in a few minutes, but it's happening a week. It's happening on the 15th. It's a week from Saturday. All right, and what do we do here? Listen, we are to live supernatural lives, flat out, supernatural life. We're not to live by your own strength, not by your own intellect. You've tried living by your own intellect. How's that worked out? Right? Not that well. Okay, I want the supernatural presence of God. The thing is, we all tend to forget how supernatural we are and live by our own strength. We're asking you to take 3 hours on Saturday morning. Come out. Let's get refired. Let's remember what it is that we have in God, in our faith in Jesus Christ. And let's come and get refired. And it's happening at North Braddock. The whole church is coming together. It's going to happen at the North Braddock campus from 9 to noon. That evening, we're going to come back together for a time of worship that ends the prayer and fasting time. All right? So, we're going to be talking more about the power of the Spirit and the need for us to remember how supernatural we are. Right, let's go forward here. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. So when the apostles were with Jesus, okay, because he just said when he leaves, right, Holy Spirit's going to come. Says when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has a time come for you to free Israel and restore your kingdom? Okay, man. And of course, he replies, the Father alone has the authority to set these dates and times. They are not for you to know. One of the amazing things is that after all this time, seeing Jesus rise from the dead, having him teach them for 40 days, they still couldn't figure out what he was doing. They couldn't figure it out. Here he is ready to ascend. And they're saying, well, now is the time that you're going to overthrow Caesar and we're going to take over. They still didn't understand it. And that's confounding in a way, but it should bring comfort also. Because here's the thing. One of our issues as believers and as followers of God and believing in the supernatural is that we want to have all the answers before we act. All right, and all throughout the book of Acts, they didn't have the answers till they acted. Okay, faith wasn't met until you exercise faith. And look, they did not totally understand. When Jesus said, stay here and wait, they really did not know exactly what they were waiting for. Power is going to come. What does that mean? What does that mean? And for us, listen, when we see that God says, I will empower you, I have called you to do this, right? You're not going to have all the answers. You're not going to have the script written out, all right? We got to trust. We got to trust him. Right? That's what walking in the Spirit, and it's a lot more fun this way. For some of you are saying, no, it isn't. You don't know my personality. It is more fun. To trust God and to take some risk like this is something that gives life to us in itself. Okay. All right, so let's read on here. Let's read on. Let's go forward. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And again, this power, it's a supernatural power. It's the word dunamis. It's a power from God. It's not a power that you get on your own. It only comes from him. And that's something we got to grab hold of. We'll be talking about that more next week. I think one of the big things here, though, is how revolutionary this was still to the disciples, that he wanted them to reach the world. Because remember, they're all Jews. And to the Jews, the only ones who deserved to be saved were Jews. Okay? And again, give me that next slide. But we see here, he says that this is who they're supposed to share the gospel with. Okay? First is Jerusalem. Okay? Remember, they're in Jerusalem. They're still kind of hiding out in the upper room, right? They haven't made themselves known. Okay? Because again, 6 weeks earlier, they crucified Jesus, all right? There's an angry mob that wanted to crucify Jesus. He said, go to Judea and Samaria. Judea rejected Jesus' ministry. Samaria was considered impure half-breeds, all right? They tried to walk around Samaria, okay? But Jesus said, you're going to reach them. And then the next slide, the final one, he says, to the ends of the earth, to all the Gentiles. So he was redefining who he was reaching, and he was making it explicitly clear that you guys are not to hang out in Jerusalem, right? Where this is going to spread everywhere. The kingdom expansion is going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen through these. At this point, there were only 11 guys. 11 guys said, this is going to happen through you. And there were other disciples there. Check that. There were other disciples. Let's read on. Verse 9. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching. They could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he'll return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Same way you saw him go. Again, one of these wild scriptures that we look at as Christians and we say, that's glorious, amen. But again, put yourself in the story. Is that wild or what? Right? I mean, if God suddenly took me and I rose up to the ceiling and through the ceiling and disappeared, you'd all be staring up at the heavens too, okay? Again, this literally happened. This is what we believe. He took him into heaven. He took him back, all right? And again, but what did the angel say? He said, look, why are you staring? Basically, believe it. Your eyes aren't lying to you, right? This really has happened. But he's coming back again. And from that time forward, people have been waiting for Jesus to return. For the last 2,000 years, people have been waiting. Through my life now, I said, I've had people ask, do I think Jesus will be back? Do you think he'll be back in my lifetime? I don't think he'll be back in my lifetime. No, I don't. I don't. I think there's too many things that need to happen yet. Too many bad things need to happen. All right? It may be, I could see it happening in my grandchildren's lifetime. I think it could happen. You know, but again, the thing is, it doesn't matter. That's not the point, right? But you need to know he is coming back again. And I'm not afraid to say that. I'm not afraid. I'm bold in saying that. I expect him to come back. And again, and take the last part of this phrase. He will return from heaven the same way you just saw him go. Wow. Wow. That's the God you serve. That's the God you serve. And don't you think then that he can empower us? If he says he's going to empower us, he can empower us. Let's go forward here. Verse 12. Talk about prayer. It says, then the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, a distance of about a half mile. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room of the house where they were staying, and they started to pray. United in prayer, it says in verse 14. And it says the disciples were there. It says Mary, mother of Jesus, several other women and brothers of Jesus. So I said, again, women were involved right here, right up front. Okay, so again, so it says, and it says they were united in prayer. It means unanimous. They were in harmony. They were praying together. They were in agreement. Okay, and what's interesting too is you think about the diverse personalities. Remember, just a few weeks ago, at the Last Supper, these disciples were arguing about who was still the greatest. Right, still, Peter has denied him. They all scattered. Man, all this stuff has happened. But when they get together, under the revelation of Jesus Christ, all of a sudden they can be unified. They have a mission. And there's a lot to be said there. A lot to be said that I don't have time to get into. But it says at the end, they united in prayer. They came together in prayer. And I guess, again, I think the Lord obviously, I think, sure instructed them to pray. Certainly Jesus gave them the example of praying. Okay, and I imagine they were praying, God, we don't know what's going to happen, but pray. I pray we see it. I pray we know when it happens. But here's what I want you to catch above all. Our own prayer lives. I want you to grab something here. So much of our own prayer lives are invested in ourselves. Gerald Brooks, pastor out of Texas, who I follow a lot in a leadership context, his thoughts are 80% of prayer is for ourselves and our own families. 80% of the time that we pray, we're asking for us. I'm asking for us or those right around me. Okay, and of course, that includes problems. You throw in problems, it's up to 90%. So family and problems, 90%. Okay. How much time is really spent praying great prayers for the kingdom expansion? How much of your prayers really spent on God, reach the lost? God, reach those who are far from you, right? Not very much, huh? Again, so most of our prayer is spent on us. And most of our prayer is actually spent on things that if you read what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, we spend time praying for things. He said, why do you even ask me that? I know you already need it. All right? So there's a challenge here. So I believe as they got together, it was like, God, you say you're going to give us power. God, we're going to reach the world. It scares the heaven out of me. All right? Help us know when it happens. Help us know. Right, they're praying bigger prayers. And we need to be a people who pray bigger prayers. And not just for us. I want to just sort of pray that we have good meetings. We need to see more people saved. All right. A few years ago, for those newer to us here in Brighton Heights campus, we were seeing upward to 50 people make a decision for Jesus every year. Okay? That's dropped off. That has dropped off significantly. Now, again, we're thankful for everyone. We have people here that rededicated just this year. And thank you. Thank you, Jesus. But there needs to be more. But what are we praying for? What are we praying? See, we're praying that God gives us that freedom. We're not praying for fire. And I believe God wants us to pray for fire, for our lives to be lit on fire, and freedom happens. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. And what happens? All those things you think you need just get added. Don't we have it backwards? Right? And again, what does that reveal? It reveals that we really don't trust him the way we say we do. Okay, so in these weeks, God set us free. In that light, next Sunday at 8:30, I will be here to pray. I'll be in the back. 8:30 to 8:55, I'll be praying. You want to join me for interceding for the kingdom of God to be made known? That we pray big prayers. We're not going to be praying just for us. All right, but if you want, it's open to anybody. 8:30. Be here. You say 8:30, that's 90 minutes before church starts. Now your life is hell, I know. But if you want to be here, you can make it. All right. Amen. All right, so Also, prayer and fasting. That's another reason we're doing this. This is happening next week. Beginning next Sunday, we're asking you to focus on God. One of the ways it helps us is you eliminate something that's your big distractions. For some of you, that's food. For some of you, it's all the media that you're on. For some of us, it's television. Some of us, it's all of the above. But we're asking you for 7 days to make that time. Take a time. You put the time aside that you are going to focus on the things that matter. Okay? All right, let's finish up here. Acts verse 15. Says Peter's taking the lead here. It says, during this time when about 120 believers were together in one place, Peter stood up, addressed them. Brothers, he said, the scriptures had to be fulfilled concerning Judas, who guided those who arrested Jesus. This was predicted long ago by the Holy Spirit, speaking through King David. Judas was one of us and shared the ministry with us. Okay, and then verse 18, Judas had bought a field with money received from treachery. Verse 19, the news of his death spread to all the people of Jerusalem. They gave the place name. Okay, let's read on. Verse 20, Peter continued. This was written in the book of Psalms where it says, let his home become desolate and no one living it. It also says, let someone else take his position. What I want you to catch just here is this simply. Peter is quoting Old Testament scripture. Okay, he's referring to Old Testament scripture. And again, I wonder if it's stuff Jesus taught them, you know, while he was there for 40 days. But what I want us to grab is that he was first making clear that Judas didn't spoil God's plan. All right, you look at this scripturally. But also, I want you to catch it that you rely on the word of God. There's a dependence on the word as we're going through life and as we're going through puzzling situations that we need to be filled with the word. Peter said, I don't have time to take it all apart for you right now. But he was looking at this and these situations with Judas, no longer with them, the part he played, and saying we need to replace him. As you see the last line here, let someone else take his position. But it was word-based. They didn't totally understand how to do it, but it was all based on the word of God, all based on his word. And Josh, let's just go to that full slide number 25. One of the things I just want to do here too, this is just practical for you. Again, as we're setting the table going forward, all of us have some big decisions to make in 2022. You may say, well, I don't right now. Nah, probably most everybody does. Right? There's some decisions that you're making, whether they be relational, business-wise, future in some way, but there's decisions that have to be made. And I want to be able to make those decisions well. I want you to be able to have spirit-directed decisions, right? Because, again, why do I say that? Because I don't trust you, okay, any more than I trust me to make good decisions, particularly on major things. Well, how do you do that? Well, if we look, I'm just saying, we're just using the example that the disciples used, all right? They showed us some things here. Jesus told them, look, something's going to be happening. You don't know what it is. But there's going to be the Holy Spirit's going to be poured out. Not sure what that means. And you're telling me we're going to go reach the whole world. That is absolutely impossible, Jesus. And then Jesus disappears into the clouds. Okay, so what do they do? Well, they do what he said. Okay, they go into prayer. Okay, and they did it together. They didn't try to face the major decisions in life on their own. All right, there were people, again, they were with people that were like-minded. All right, like-minded. And again, but they were obedient to the word. And that's what I catch here out of this last part. Like Peter was saying, we got to follow the word. The Bible said, it points out this was going to happen with Judas. Well, we need to replace him. Okay, there's a word base. So it's prayer, it's word, and it's other people. If you're going to make good decisions, this never changes. Prayer, word, people, or prayer, people, word. It never change. Let's say it together. Say prayer, word, people. It never changes. It never changes. You want to make wise decisions. You want to make wise decisions. You want to walk in sanctified common sense. Prayer, word, people. If you're missing one of those, you're missing a third of what you need. All right? And again, God help. I want you to make good decisions. I want you to have great success as you're looking forward and going into 2022. Man, I mean, I got big decisions in my life. Right? I need his guidance. I want supernatural guidance. Right? Well, the thing is, I expect I'm going to get it. Why? Am I just hoping? No, because I plan on being in prayer about it. I plan on being in the Word about it, and I plan on having people around me. That's how you make good decisions. That's how you make supernatural decisions. So God, help us as we go forward. Now, as we conclude today, let's say again, just setting the table for next week and the beginning of chapter 2, you can go ahead and read that to prepare for what's going to happen next week. But as we're doing this, we remember everything begins with believing that Jesus is who he said. Put up that last slide, please, Josh. And again, just going back here to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. This is what you need reminded of. You can walk as one of the disciples in the book of Acts. Everyone in here. Everyone in here. I don't care if you've been saved 20 years or 20 minutes. You can walk in that. But everything starts on this foundation. Do you believe he is who he says? Do you believe it? Okay. Because if you really believe it, it will affect your behavior. If we really believe it, it'll change. And next week, as we talk about the power of the Holy Spirit and look to be refreshed in prayer, which is a promise of God, all right? If you believe it, something big is going to happen next week. Something big will happen, but you've got to believe. You can't just believe it's for Doug up here in the front or for Aaron or myself. It's for you. It's for you. If you believe it, it's going to happen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you, God. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of your word. Father, we thank you, God, for the inspiration we have, God, by your Spirit. Father, and God, renew us, God. Remind us, Lord, of the amazing story, Lord, of not just your coming, God, as we just celebrated during the Christmas season, but, Father, the reality of who you are, God, that you did conquer death, that you are alive, and that your Spirit is alive today, and literally longing to fill everyone in this room. Longing to fill us fresh. Longing to fill us fresh, God. You're looking whose heart belongs to me, that I can fill them with life. Holy Spirit, come. Enlighten us, enliven us, God, that we could move your heart. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand.